All right, we are now in question and answer mode. If you'd like to ask a question, you need to unmute yourself by hitting star 6, and then you can ask your question, and then when you're done, you can remute yourself by hitting star 6. We're doing it this way because it saves on the background noise that would come on if we just had all the lines open. So if anybody would like to ask a question, please hit star 6, and we'll get started. Okay.
I have a question.
Does anybody have a question?
I have a question.
I can barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Could you please go over the angels and their tunic colors for
okay.
me? Thank you.
What you have is angels. They don't really look like us, although they can if they want to. So when you're trying to visualize our archangels, don't try to form an image based on some picture you've seen. Instead, visualize the color of the tunic that they'll be wearing. And as we said, it's also helpful if you try to visualize this in a setting of the season they represent. You'll either get a clear image or you won't get a clear image, depending on what the angel wants or chooses. That's really their choice, but you will get an idea of that they are there based on what you can see. So I'm going to go into a little bit more detail here and pull this straight from the book. Uriel is from the north. He's related to Earth. He will be dressed in citrine and olive with reddish tones, and he usually has a sheaf of corn in his hand. So the best way to visualize him is in a fertile field surrounded with both natural vegetation and wheat. Now the Archangel Raphael is in the east, and he's related to air. So imagine a figure that's dressed in yellow and mauve or teal. He'll have a tome, which is a heavy book, in his hand, and you'll feel a gentle breeze coming from him. The reason why he has a book is he's the angel of knowledge.
Now, all those are elements that are just added, because if you want to have all those elements when you're doing a what you call a manifestation visualization. If you ever done any course on even what you have the people from The Secret, when they teach you to visualize in order to manifest, you don't only visualize with your mind's eyes, you create the sensation, the entire experience of sensation as you are living it. So what Chris is saying to you is the best way, and like we said before, to call upon an angel is actually attuned to the energy that this angel emanates. So like he said, for Archangel Gabriel, Raphael, you know, he has the tones of green, teal, you know, light things. He is in the west. He has that breeze. He has, you know, all those elements. It's just to enrich the way and will facilitate you through your five senses to attune yourself, self-attune to the contact of the sphere, or what you can say sphere, of the emanation of the each angel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the more elements you can add, the easier it is to
Have the contact.
And we try to put in as much as possible. It's a lot to grasp at first, and it does take, you know, we've had to move through it fairly quickly for the ritual tonight, but it takes a little bit of study and a little bit of practice before you can visualize these, you know, in enough detail to make the contact. Real quick to finish out the four, Michael. He's related to fire. He'll be dressed in bright red with green tones. He'll also have a huge sword. You know, Michael is well known for his flaming sword. And typically that will be pointed vertically in his right hand. And a good way to when you're visualizing Michael is to actually feel the heat or try to feel the heat coming off a sword.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth is Gabriel. He's from the west, and he's related to water. He'll be dressed in blue with orange tones, and in his hand, he typically will have a crystal chalice with blue water, and his season is winter, so that's a good setting for him. But those are the visualization methods for the four archangels.
Okay, thank you. Can you hear me, Chris? Leon?
Yes.
Could you please go over how to re-mute this? Because I undid it, and there's people having dinner in here, and I'm so afraid I'm disturbing you.
Okay.
Okay.
Hit *6, and you re-mute.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Are there any other questions?
I love dead silence.
I love dead silence, too.
I have a question, unless somebody's ahead of me.
Right now, you're the next person.
My name's James.
Hi, James.
Hi, James. How are you?
Hey, Leanne. You doing okay?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Good. My question is, for those people that you've worked with that have maybe some really good clairsentience and things like that, but they quite haven't been able to get their clairvoyant side going, is this a really good ritual for that? Because I know people I've worked with that they're open in a lot of different areas, but they still struggle with their clairvoyance. And I was just wondering from your personal experience, does this seem to help?
Oh, yeah, well, it can help, but here's the biggest thing on the difference between clairvoyance and the other senses. What mostly happen is, you know, it's a blockage between the solar plexus and the crown chakra. So the basic work, you can use our angels and the visualization, because this ritual that Chris did is a ritual basically only for protection. But there is rituals of, especially when you know, we're going to work with the point, what you call the angel chakra, which is actually a marma point, a point of energy between two other chakras, and just obstruct that chakra, that point, to make the energy flow better from the solar plexus and the crown chakra. Those are the main points where, you know, the activation of clairvoyance, all the clairs, four clairs. Basically on the communication of those two chakras. Now, there is ways to clear up, yes. Now, this ritual is basically more to enrich the form of visualization. And it is, I would say, worthwhile to continue practicing, not only for protection, but on asking, I'm really not fond of the word asking, but in order to, you know, plead some assistance in certain areas. I usually ask for myself, when I ask for something, I ask for a quality. You know, I don't ask patience, though, because when we say ask patience, God will send you something to exercise your patience. So you're going to send you somebody to bug you, and then you're going to exercise it. But I ask, you know, I want to learn more tolerance. I want to learn how to be more open or more forgiving or more, I would say, able to see them in a more direct way. Now, the visualization, but, you know, again, the elements, more elements you bring and that are related to the five senses, it's important, and it will help a lot. But, of course, it is a spiritual work, and it requires a lot of exercise. I mean, doing when you remember or doing something every day. But basically, just answering specifically your question, there are things that can facilitate, and basically what the difficulties to see, and the person sometimes is very much sensitive and empathic, but they see in internal vision, but they don't see clearly, is because there is a blockage between the plexus, solar plexus, and the third eye, actually, not the crown, the third eye chakra.
Yes. Well, it seems so powerful. I was wondering, and I apologize, I came in late to the conference, but I did get a strong sense of that when I did it, so that's why I had the question.
Oh, yeah. They are really...
The four towers are fairly powerful beings, so that when you call on them, especially in need, and you've done this, you can really feel, boom, they're there. It's not a subtle energy. It's a powerful energy.
Yeah, and you see the attunement and the empowerment that we're going to be doing next week. It's called the Aximundi, which is based on the cross of the compass, which is related to the four cardinal points and to the big four stars of the royal stars in the cosmos,
which just coincidentally tie into these four angels.
Yeah,
yes.
And in the equinox, the energy,
yes,
of the equinox. So we're going to make
awesome.
A ritual, a personal ritual of balance. What you're going to do is balance and ground spiritually on Earth now. So you're going to use the chakra that's below your feet, and another one under it, which is called the incarnational chakra, to balance yourself with the energies now. You know, it's not good to be floating and ungrounded as we go to this process of transformation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, otherwise we're really in bad shape. Floating around is not good.
No, that's good. I appreciate the insight on that very much. So.
Well, thank you for joining us here this evening. Now, I will say real quickly, there is once you've done this ritual, there is a prayer that's come down through a tradition that's a very almost a quickie version of this that is good to use if you feel immediately threatened by something, and that's simply to my right Michael, to my left Gabriel, in front of me Uriel, behind me Raphael, and over my head God Shekinah. And that in itself, once you've done this ritual, sort of revamps it or brings it in. It's like the Cliff Notes version. But you need to have stepped through the other before so that it ties together.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it very much. Give someone else a chance to ask a question.
Oh, yeah, Jane, thank you. We appreciate you very much, too.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Thank you much. All right, and as we said, to unmute yourself to ask a question, hit *6 on your phone.
Do we have any more questions? Oh, I love that.
All right. Well, if we don't have any more questions, then we're going to go ahead and bring this...
Oh, hello. Hi. Sorry, I had to unmute myself on my phone, too.
Okay.
How are you tonight?
We're fine. How are you?
Good. My name is Claudia, and I really appreciate your conference tonight explaining about the angels.
Oh, thank you.
Which angel was south?
Which angel was south? Okay. I just flipped from that page. South was Michael.
Okay, that's what I thought. And so West would have been Gabriel, because I had the other two down.
Yeah.
And what was Michael's colors? Blue with what?
Michael's colors are red with green.
Oh, wait a minute. Not Michael. I'm not Michael. Gabriel. Gabriel's the one I didn't get.
Gabriel in the West, he's blue with orange tones.
With orange tones.
Yes, he's related to water.
Okay. All right.
So
he'll
have that crystal chalice in his hand.
The crystal chalice, and he's winter. Okay. That brief incantation that you gave the gentleman,
mm-hmm,
before me,
yes,
it was Michael to the right,
To my right, Michael, and to my left, Gabriel. In front of me, Uriel, and behind me, Raphael, and over my head, God, Shekinah. Which is essentially what we did as we...
Shekinah is the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Which essentially what we did is we stepped through the ritual.
Okay. So Michael to the right, the left, Gabriel. In front of me, Uriel.
And behind me, Raphael.
Yeah. And above me...
God, Shekinah.
Or the Holy Spirit.
How do you spell Shekinah?
Shekinah is Shekinah.
And that's basically God's Holy Spirit. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's also referred to as the Divine Feminine.
Yeah, the Divine Feminine that God, you know, needs to create.
Oh, okay. Cool. And you ask for their protection when you say that, or?
Yes.
Yes, that's a quick prayer of protection.
In any situation. You can even do this just in your mind. If you feel threatened on some environment, you can do this in your mind. And is another interesting thing about this quick prayer is you can request the assistance of the angel in different timelines. For instance, you are going to a job interview and you really want to do a good job interview. You send your angels first and say, you know, harmonize the environment so when I get there, I won't be so threatened by any element or my stress or anything, and ask the protection before you go. You know, you do the quick ritual, but send them to clear up. You know, ask them to please clear up for you before you arrive in a place. Or you're going to deliver bad news to somebody. Or, you know, you see the occasion. You know, the angels, they really actually enjoy to be working close to us and assist us on the path. You know, they're getting more closer to the God energy in everyday life. You know.
How would you call upon an angel for healing?
Well, one of the other rituals that we're going to be doing. There is a specific methodology. You can ask for healing. You can ask directly to Raphael to do the assessment. You know, when we talk about one angel, those archangels, they are leaders of many other angels. So you have the choir of Archangel Michael, or the, you know, they're warriors. The helping souls and other angels in various categories that work with Archangel Raphael, which is a healing angel. They work with this, and they, you know, he will not necessarily be present, but his presence will be there because he will send his angels to assist.
Yeah, through his assistance.
Yeah, no, and you can ask him, please, to assess, to facilitate the healing of this person. But one thing, when we ask angels, or it would be a standard practice, actually, for any type of prayer that you do, you should always ask for something, but say, you know, may the will of God be done, not mine. Because, you know, we don't have the right to interfere to a certain degree in the free will or in people's contract between them and God and between them and the Creator, or and them and the angels. We can ask for intercession, you know, on healing, on changing an attitude, on, you know, overcoming an obstacle, but we ultimately, we don't have the power to overrule their free will.
It is interesting in the Jewish tradition that unless the name is very or used a lot, like Michael, not to call or not to say the angels' names, because one of their functions was to come to help when called upon, and so it was considered bad form to just, you know, throw out an angel's name without a need for it. It was considered disrespectful.
Well, it's the same with name of God too. But anyhow, what you want to do? There's specific rituals, especially if you work with Reiki, or if you are initiated in Reiki. There are specific hands position, and it's the six same symbols that you can enhance and send further or deeper, you know, a healing. And the healing not necessarily, sometimes you send for the physical, but the healing doesn't work on the physical or doesn't go straight to the physical. It goes to the other levels where it's more needed. So somebody that's, let's say, is dying of cancer, you send healing because you want cancer to be healed, but what it goes, the energy may go to a broken heart. This person is feeling rejected, is feeling less love, and maybe God in the time that they, you know, it's, we never know what is the karmic death or what is the program. So the energy that you go, so like the energy I sent didn't go through. It did. It was just used, you know, because the mind of God knows
the greater good.
The good and better. And that energy will be allocated where it's needed the most. Maybe a wound of a soul, maybe an emotional wound. It will restore the relationship that this person needed with somebody else. You know, we never know. We have a very limited understanding of reality because we are shut down in three dimensions. But, you know, God and the angels are, they can't go from fourth dimension to, you know, up the way to God himself, you know, like Metatron. So you really, we don't have the understanding that they do. We just produce with our heart the energy enough to help heal and help create. So when you do a healing, you know, you have to give this as a gift, knowing that we'll get to the person and it will be used the best way possible, you know, for the good of all, not damaging this person, actually enriching their life and bringing, you know, harmony for everybody that's involved. I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah, actually, you gave me a lot of answers. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I do have one more question.
Sure.
What do you think about the fact, what do you think about the idea of people, like someone on Earth, being an angel incarnate?
It depends on how you define incarnate.
Okay. You want to me to answer you if I personally believe that?
Yeah.
Or if it is possible.
If it is possible and if you believe that.
The both answers are yes, I do. I do believe that because, you know, if we just limit, you know, and this is the main gripe I have with major religions, even though I respect them and I accept them all, is the fact that the man's mind tends to limit God's possibility of creation. When you say just the people that calls God by this name going to be saved, you are limiting God, which he is not limited. He's unlimited. And he can create not only humans. Look at the forms and look at the life forms and the life expressions that he had created. You know, there are people that see fairies. There are people that see angels. There's people that see, I don't know, mermaids. And they can see the spirits of trees. And, you know, so there is an infinite, rich universe created by God. Now, I've got angels. He created angels. He created what you call the Devic line of evolution, which is the fairies, you know, the gnomes, elves, you know. This is a line of evolution, just like humans are a line of evolution. We are all living together here. We're not necessarily in straight contact with them. Most of religions think that the other kingdoms of God or realms of existence are evil. So we shouldn't be contacting them anyhow, except for angels. But when we limit God and say, well, God just can't create humans, angels, and animals. We are limiting him because we look at just the reality that we perceive in planet Earth. You respond to one little planet in the, like, one of the axles of the, you know, the big Milky Way, which is like one of the smallest constellations in this section of the universe. How can you say that this is all what he does? We can't. Now, there is, and this is nothing necessarily to do with the Bible says, that when the angels came down and they decide to fall, they had, you know, sexual intercourse with women, and they had this different race breed between women and angels for the giants. The human angels are not that. You know, even though that's what the Bible, and when you talk about human angels, everybody comes in, and we have this comment all the time on YouTube, oh, you're talking about the evil Nephilim. No, we're not. We're not. What happened is, at a certain point, when the, you know, we, in the story of mankind, and most of the story of mankind, God destroyed the registries, when the Library of Alexandria was burned by the early people from the church, Catholic Church. Don't take me wrong, I was raised Catholic. They burned that because they didn't want that history to exist anymore. You know, whatever reason they thought that was the best thing to do for mankind. What happened is we had a destruction of, we had the flood, like you said, the biblical flood in various cultures. What happened there was not only to eliminate the, you know, the DNA experiment was a little bit more, you know, and this is a very controversial theosophical questioning, but going back to your question, in order to assure that certain things will be done according to the divine will, it was created what they call an experiment that would be conceiving a body, a human shape, that would be able enough to handle the higher vibration of an angel, of a spirit or a soul of an angel, to inhabit and endure a human experience. Now, why God would do that? Because, why would he do that? Why didn't he just send the humans here? Well, hello, humans were already here, and apparently we're not doing, you know, right things. The only thing to do was to teach by example. The only way he saw to teach by example was to create a human body, but with the capabilities, special capabilities, to encompass or incarnate a soul of an angel, which is would already come with at least 3 or 4 DNA chromosomes activated. Mind you that most of us just come with 3. So, you know, like we had the discussion before, science just says we have 2 Alex DNA activated, but actually it's not, it's 3, because to function 3 dimensions, you need 3. The angels already come with more than that because they can function in 3 and starting with 4. And you know, you have angels or certain beings that came here that could operate even a higher level with 5 or 6, and they were able to perform a series of less than conventional activities, and you have this through history. They're not necessarily, they did not necessarily become a celebrity like, I don't know, Martin Luther King or something like that. But if you look at, if you go to with this idea of a special body to, you know, comfort or to be the garment of a soul that has a higher vibrational level than a normal human, you can look and evaluate how was the body of the man known as Jesus Christ. He had a magnificent body. He was able to fast for 40 days in the desert. He resisted to temptations. And this man, even being hurt and beaten for hours straight, was able to walk almost 5 miles with a heavy cross in his back and be crucified and didn't have an ounce of anger. Now, this is a magnificent body, I mean physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So this is, you know, the prototype of what it would be a body of a human angel to comport or support a higher being coming to incarnation. Now, you said, well, maybe that's not true. Well, it is. You know, for my understanding, it is. Again, going to the Bible, just getting Jesus Christ, you have, I think it's St. Matthew. Was Matthew or was Luke? I think, no, it's Luke. Luke was the apostle that was a doctor. And Luke has basically, he goes through the entire Bible thing talking about the lineage of Jesus Christ. He came from Jacob, he came to, who begot such and such, who begot this, that begot Mary. He talks about the entire line of King David. Why he was so concerned about the lineage, he was so concerned because there's a way that tradition does, or there was something else. He was talking about there was a lineage, and what you call the lineage of Christ, or the blood of Christ, it's actually was a lineage that inherits the capability of an angelic body. So they could, on their lineage, bear or bring about individuals that would be, you know, prophets or God emissaries on earth. Now, you ask nowadays, is possible? I think it is. I really do. I really do, because I don't think that God ceased on doing his work on us, and I don't believe he gave up on us yet. So he's still sending his angels here, you know, his human angels, as to continue reawakening humanity to humanity's duties, which is to be a caretaker of this planet and a caretaker of each other. So this is my personal idea, of course. I can go forever because I had, you know, I went through this and I did a true research in every single line and culture of the ancient times to see where were they, you know, and who were they? Who were the human angels? And they really did not, the perception of Christ, of course, they did not call attention to themselves, because this is not what they are about, you know. They're about selfless service. But I don't know if I answered your question again.
Yeah, it kind of brought another question in mind, though. So this person has to have, like, an excellent body and excellent health and all that. Is that what you're saying? Like,
not necessarily. You see, it's not necessarily. I'm seeing an excellent resistance. But, of course, we are all submitted to the same three-dimensional law. And for most of human angels, especially nowadays, there is a lot of difficulties actually grounding, you know, because a lot, you lose a lot when you cross from other higher dimensions to the third dimension. It's like, look at yourself as a matrix of energy and different, what you call, circuits. So you are wired to have 12 levels of circuits. When you come down, they just shut off, you know, everything. 9 circuits that you were used to use all the time. And instead of this, you have to operate only with 3 circuits. It's hard. You have to reawake all of it. So most of the human angels don't know they're human angels. They feel unsatisfied. They go through, unless they really already came and, you know, hit the ground running, which is not truthful. All of the ones that are out there and that I know of, they have to pass through experience for a completely reawakening. It's easier for them after that because they already came wired for this. It doesn't require an excellent body. In the time of Christ, it did, to overcome all the difficulties of living in the desert, of going through town to town, days without eating, you know, all the, you know, I would say the hardships of the desert from that period of time. He needed to have an extraordinary body. But nowadays, we have, you know, I would say, the demise of the modern civilization. Pollution is stress. It really is hard on the angelic body, more than a common human body. So, I mean, does it mean that a person has to have a perfect health? No, because we all submitted to the same environment, and we suffer from the same things. We feed in the same way. We're using this body. You know, we're not the body, but we're using this body. So, you know, all the reactions that you expect that would happen, chemical reaction on having in that, you know, food that's not really good for you, full of, I don't know, carbonated drinks and things like that, they really damage your body in the long run. And, of course, I love soda, but, you know, I know it's not good. So... It's not really, you know, there's not one answer for that.
Okay, well, you did help me a lot, though. Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
You're most welcome. Any more questions?
Me. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. You know, I've heard, I guess I believe this, too, that we choose to come here.
Yes.
What's the difference between that and an earth angel? You follow my question?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
What is the difference between an earth angel and a regular human being?
Well, I assumed that we were kind of special.
We are always special.
Well,
yes.
I mean, in the fact that we chose to come here, we didn't have to, true?
Some of us didn't have to, some of us had to.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because it goes to, again, to the big distortion, and when the big distortion happened on creation of God, there was the last big distortion was that happened and was trying to be corrected with the destruction of Atlantis. Most of the souls, and this is the biggest difference between what are old souls and what are new souls. Okay.
Yeah.
Old souls are souls that were created before Atlantis. New souls are souls that were created after Atlantis. But doesn't mean, you know, which goes completely against what the Catholic religion says, for instance, that every day God creates a bunch of new souls. So a newborn will be a just made soul from God. Wrong answer. You know, till the next process of creation, God will not create new souls. So the souls are here are old, and they're just older. The age of them are measured by the ones created before Atlantis and the others created after Atlantis. So we are very old souls around here. You know, we say, oh, yeah, he's a young soul because he didn't learn too many experience yet.
Right.
It's young because it still has time to learn, but not because it's just 5,000 years old, so it really doesn't matter. It depends on what kind of experience. Now, again, back to your question. Some of us, after Atlantis, were involved directly or indirectly with this mess that was done. Those souls had to come back to restore the template that was distorted before. Now, the new souls, you have volunteers that said, oh my God, that's a big mess. I want to go there to help. You know?
Yes.
Look, we have this zoo. Yes. You know, a big mess happened on Earth. And everybody was like, whoa, it's an opportunity. You want to go there and be an independent contractor?
Right.
Okay, you know, then you can be a volunteer. We never know. Like I said, it's very restrict the amount of information that we can have about others' contract. What is your soul contract? Some of us did have the free will to come. Others have to had the famous unfinished business to do. So some of people didn't have the choice to go and, I don't know, go to a cosmic, you know, vacation store, mm-hmm. or, you know, and stay there and maybe go from there to another planet or another realm of evolution. No, they had to stay here. And that most of us are in this incarnating, yes, back and forth, yes, back and forth. There are new souls on Earth, yes, but those are mostly what you call the volunteers, yes. I don't know if I answered. I talk too much.
I couldn't hear you. What'd you say?
I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah, you did. You did. You did.
Oh, okay.
That was someone else's voice breaking in for a question. You know, I don't know if I can explain this properly, but I heard something, if I can share that, about our life and our knowledge of being here.
Uh-huh.
It was the mosquito we used as an analogy because of the larva and the changes it goes through, and then it flies away, and it's like we have no concept of what that flight will be.
After here?
Yes. You know, the stages of us.
Oh, yeah. We do and we don't. Because, again, like I said, not all the souls that are here, and like the lady that came before you, there's many souls here, Kelly. There are not necessarily pure humans. You know, they're souls, they're angels here among us.
I agree.
And so we know what can happen after a life here on Earth, what can be expected. But again, you are touching a realm that most people don't go there because they accept the explanation of major religions. You are your co-creator. You know, in most of ancient wisdom, a lot of initiates are, you know, as they learn how to go through stages and control themselves and do meditation and reach, you know, especially the contact with the eternal realm, they are guided to program their next life. Doesn't mean there will be necessarily a next life here on Earth. What do you expect to encounter after you finish Earth school?
Personally?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that's...
To
yeah.
be part of God, you know, to blend with all the energies and to be part
happy.
Of it.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, that's what you do. You know, a lot of people think, like, oh, my God, if I'm not good enough, I'm going to burn in hell. Others think that they're going to go to heaven just to listen angels sing. You know, and I have like, oh, yeah, I'm going to heaven, and heaven is a land that where milk and honey flows, mm-hmm. and angels sing. I'm going to be bored to death. You know, I am really very fond of milk, you know, and honey. It can be very bothering. So, I don't know. It's like the idea, and this is a point where we are co-creators of our lives.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? What are you representing? Who do you serve? What is, you know, and it boils down to the question, who is your God? You know, because, again, we go and a lot of times and asking people, I don't believe in God. You don't? What God is, which God is yours? Because you do believe in God. If you don't believe in God, how we see God as a source of creation, you believe in something else as God. Maybe science. Maybe science is your God. Maybe you are your own God, you know, like, yeah, I am a self-made person.
True, right?
I am my own God.
And they're all right, because science would be a part of it, so would us.
Oh, yeah, I know. They're right because, I mean, it's your path. Mm-hmm. You're co-creating, you know, your life. There's no right or wrong. There's like, each one chooses a path. But anyhow, that's it.
Thank you. Thank you, Sage. I'm going to mute myself. I have a room full of company. I love you guys, and thank you.
I love you, too, Kelly.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, sweetie.
All right. We're pretty much out of time. We've got just a couple minutes left before the teleconference service is going to cut us off. Is there anybody that has a quick question? All right, then. In that case, I would like to thank everybody for participating with us tonight. We will be, for those who came in late, we will be putting this teleconference up, a recording of that, and so for those that couldn't participate with us, can listen in. And thank you very much, everybody, for being with us this evening.
All right, and if you guys have any questions, please don't hesitate to send us an email at contact@humanityhealing.net. And I wish you all a good evening.
Thank you much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.